And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hooter Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Earl Powellhead of Satan Service, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host of Mojo.com in Forestville, California, and Cosmin Ali of Photography.com in Diego, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Deacon Millett of FourAltars.com in Joshua Tree, California, bringing us today's topic on how to become a root worker. Afterwards, they'll take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of voodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual gurus of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment. But first, let's catch up with our Ms. Pat and Conjurman Ali.
Hi. Wow, what a surprise. It is my own beloved Troll Towelhead giving the announcements. His pitch and tonality match those of our regular announcer, Papa Newt, rather well, but he is about 20% slower. Probably not as familiar with the wording. Well, it was very nice to have you, Troll Towelhead. Your voice is breaking up a little bit. I hope it improves, but it's not your voice. It's the there's a little click in the line. Do you know why, Troll, and can you tell us why Papa Newt is not here today? For all our loyal listeners, they're surely going to want to know.
Oh, yes. He's hosting a Porterfield in Omaha, Nebraska, where they're having an educational event. Professor Porterfield is visiting, and they're having classes on a number of different subjects.
So Professor Porterfield of the Now You Know show and Papa Newt are teaching people on the subject of root work in Omaha, Nebraska, at the Next Millennium Book and Gift Shop. And I want to give a special shout-out to Charles and Cindy Odorizzi of Next Millennium for hosting these friends of ours. Papa Newt works at Next Millennium on a regular basis. If you are in the Omaha, Nebraska region, that is where he's located. Member of AIR, a very good reader, and he also that's his home base at Next Millennium. Professor Porterfield is based out of Denton, Texas, and he is visiting Omaha and teaching classes and for the weekend. So thank you, Troll, for being our announcer. Now, I would like to say also that this kind of leads directly into what we're going to be talking about later today, which is how to become a root worker. But first, let me just quickly catch you up on what's going on here at our shop. We are busy making products, making supplies, making spiritual supplies for folks. We are actually today's the 1st of October, and we should have had a newsletter ready, but it's not yet. We're running a little late on the October newsletter. Never fear, it will be in your email boxes soon. It will contain discount coupons and all the usual things, but you know us, when things are jammed, the newsletter is the first to go a little late. We are looking for a new permanent editor for the newsletter. Our previous editor has moved on, and we are now looking for someone who will do that on a monthly basis and keep us back on track, because it was doing really well when Rowan was the editor. But right now, it's all on my shoulders, and I'm a little late. Sorry about that, folks. But I will get to it. The other thing that we've been working on is the Mystic Tea Room. Now, the September newsletter, which was late, had a lot about divination things, and we had a big divination sale. It ran all through the month of September, and a lot of people took advantage of that discount that was store-wide on divination products. But what we did there was we used that as kind of an opportunity to announce the upgrades to the Mystic Tea Room, which has been online since 2009, but is one of my lesser well-known projects. And I just want to say that getting that thing ready for September was not the end of it. Ernie and Nagashiva have been working pretty much every day on the Mystic Tea Room, just improving it and making it better. We have hit the 300-page mark now. And for those of you, for those of you who like the fact that I, you know, work hard to provide free things, I have to also say that Deacon Millett was part of the original creators of the Mystic Tea Room, and he's here today to talk about being a root worker. But he helped and got set up with the Mystic Tea Room as an online site. It then kind of, you know, it chugged along, and it was small, but now there's 300 pages. And so that's a new landmark. And the Mystic Tea Room is basically like hoodoo in theory and practice, like blues lyrics and hoodoo, like any of these kind of hub pages that I have produced. It is a hub to go to for all sorts of information, and in this case, all that information is about tea leaf reading, tea cups used for tea leaf reading, and the depiction of tea leaf reading and tea leaf symbols in popular culture going back to the 19th century. All free, all there for all of you to enjoy, no charge. There is a small gift shop associated with the Mystic Tea Room that is simply buying and selling duplicate teacups, just to support the server time and, you know, Ernie's time and so forth. The rest of it's all volunteer. And I just want to say again, for those of you who appreciate and like this kind of free information, you really, it's not just me, but so many people have contributed to the Mystic Tea Room at this point. But I really do want to say thanks to Deacon Millett for starting us down that path and helping me at the beginning. Thanks to Nagashiva, and thanks to Ernie for working on it in this last month. And we're not done yet. We'll probably have more announcements. That's it for me. How are you doing, Countryman Ali?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. A little bit tired. Been quite busy on my end. Also, the beginning of the school year has started. So that's always busy between teaching and lesson planning and, university classes. And, of course, doing root work. It's always... fall time is always a little bit hectic, but that's fun. And of course, travel, finishing up travel. It's been a bit hectic, but in a good way. I can sympathize with you. And it seems like, a very typical Torah habit is that we end up on these projects that seem to have no end in sight. And they're constantly works in progress. But we enjoy that type of work, too. We can kind of revisit and go back and build and build and build until we have these wonderful kind of end products. So it's been fun. It's been exciting, but quite busy fall for me, I should say.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just, you're right. It is a sort of Taurian thing, and I got to say Capricorns play along, too.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We even got a Scorpio in on this one and a Leo. It's an exciting thing here. Plus Capricorns who support everybody. You know, Capricorns are the great supporters of solidity in the world. So without any further ado, let me bring in our solid Capricorn du jour. And that is Deacon Millett.
Welcome
to the show,
welcome.
Deacon Millett.
Aw, thanks for having me. It was so funny sitting here listening to the Blog Talk Radio hold music. It is the same hold music as my veterinarian here in Baltimore uses. So, every time I call the vet, it's like, it's this weird, wait, am I calling the right number? Wait, what am I doing?
Funny.
Some of us have Blog Talk Radio on speed dial.
yeah, wow. I had, that I have the same thing happen with Countryman Ali. He has this little snippet of classical music, and
yes.
I have a dentist who has that same music. And I'm always like, wait a minute, did I dial the wrong number?
You know, the funny story about that, too, is like I actually didn't know I had that little classical music playing for people who called me until someone's like, what is that song? And I'm like, what song? And one of my colleagues at work at a cell phone company added it on, and it's just been there for like years now. I didn't even request it, but now people hear some classical music when they call me.
Yeah. Right. Well, you're known for it, and it's quite pleasing. It's quite pleasing, but my dentist likes it too. All righty. Well, let's get down to a few things. First of all, Deacon Millett, let's catch up with you before we go to our topic of the day. Deacon Millett has moved to Baltimore, and that does not mean that the high desert location of Four Altars has been abandoned. So, Deacon Millett, you are now bi-coastal, correct?
I sure am. I'm traveling back and forth between my husband here in Baltimore working on his PhD at Johns Hopkins and the church back in Joshua Tree. So I'm back and forth and back and forth, and my able assistants who've been helping me for the last 5 years are totally up to the task of burning all the candles, and then I'm doing the root work here. So it's been an adventure, but so far so good. And we just are blossoming all over the place.
All right. Well, we're really happy that this is working out for you. I was, you know, I'm going to tell you, you're the kind of guy who sometimes takes on too much, and I always worry about you. And I'm like, oh, no, is he going to, you know, is this going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back? But you have gracefully navigated this fantastic switch to being in Baltimore. And very happy to see how it's playing out for you.
Well, thank you. And it's odd. I mean, as you know, we earth signs don't want to pick up and move anywhere at any time.
Oh, so true.
And thankfully, I had a Gemini to pack everything up and make the transition happen and hold my hand through all that part of it. so I just had to kind of close my eyes and go, okay, I'll be in Baltimore, and now I'm here, and this is another home, and so that's fine. But the motion part was the disorienting part.
Oh, yes. Deacon Millett, I will never forget the whimper when you talked about the pod. This goes back how many moves? Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yes.
This man has been my friend for many, many years, and moving is always tragic for Deacon Millett, and it's catastrophic, and it's freakoutsville, and he finally got involved with this company that sent a pod, and they just put his stuff in a pod, and they put it in storage, and he was like, oh my God, the pod, my stuff's in a pod. He was like breathing very hard. I'm glad you know, seriously, having a partner, having a husband to hold your hand through it is good for you, because I've watched you kind of vibrate badly when having.
Well, you know, I sympathize fully and totally, because I hate moving too. So
yeah. part of what made this also okay was I didn't have to leave.
Right,
adding
right.
another place is very different from, you know, up and, okay, everything is going.
That's a good point.
It's just a totally different, you mean I have another place to fill up with stuff? Okay, I can do that.
That's good.
Getting
like that.
Rid of the stuff. And I do have a lovely restaurantware plate and cup here with me in Baltimore that made the journey with me. So thank you.
Good. That's good. Just to say, in the chat room, Alchemical Artisans Hour says one of my oldest college friends is head librarian at Johns Hopkins. And,
wow.
And, Alchemical Artisans Hour is a regular here in the chat room, and you might want to check that out.
Yeah, making connections.
And apparently, as a spouse, I get a library card, which is
ah,
cool.
You get a library card as a spouse. Cool. Well, yeah. Drop by and say hi, because you know, make new connections in Baltimore.
Well,
okay,
I love that those new connections are being made. You know, a couple of years ago, he was at my university, right? So like, there's always a connection.
Yeah, that's right. That's
absolutely
right. Yes, that's right. He was where Ollie was. So let's get to our topic. Our topic is how to become or becoming a professional root worker. So I'm going to just start this out with a brief little note. I do teach classes, and one reason this subject came up was that Papa Newt and is not here today because he's out with Charles teaching classes. So it got us thinking. Becoming a professional reader and root worker. What does it take? How do you do it? The first thing people always ask is, am I gifted to do it? And, of course, being gifted is part of it. You would never think of becoming a professional baseball player if you didn't have some talent at baseball or hand-eye coordination. But I'm not so much sure that we're here to judge whether people are gifted. You can get a reading on that from anybody. Or you can just look inside yourself and see what you think and judge yourself against others if you can judge yourself realistically. But the real question is, once you say, I have an interest and I think I have a gift, what do I do next? And so I'm going to turn this over to Deacon Millen, and we're going to go through, and we'll all pile in on this too by the end of it, how do you become a professional reader or a root worker, particularly a root worker?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that knowledge is the very first thing, and all of our readers here are taking in knowledge. That is, are our listeners. That is part of what you guys are doing right this second. So just getting online and being part of a show like this, getting on the Lucky Mojo forum and really diving deep into all the questions and the answers and the questions and the answers, you can learn so much. And you really have to figure out, is this the one for you? I think that just reading the Lucky Mojo website, it's, you know, Hoodoo in Theory and Practice, it is so, there's so much depth there. And it enables you to decide, is this the kind of magic you want to do? I mean, there are many, many, many forms of magic. But you do need to have some sort of heartfelt connection to this work and to the African American culture if you're going to practice hoodoo. So in reading it, you will get an overwhelming feeling of, oh, this makes sense to me. Okay. And if you've got that feeling, and if you've had a reading to see whether you're gifted for the work, if you've tried a few things for yourself, then really it's time to keep moving. There are tons of good books. Obviously, your book, Miss Cat, which is now, 15 years old this year?
Yes.
Is
just such a marvelous resource. And you've followed it with all these other little books, including the ones you've done for, you know, published of mine. So there are tons of books now available that, and they specialize in all sorts of different things. So you really can get a fuller knowledge. At this point, the best books that you would then move on to are very, very expensive. You can, the Hyatt books, you can get some of the later volumes for $300 or $400 a piece, but the first two volumes are over $1,000 each now. And that, you know, is too bad. But people who write about hoodoo, we go to the Hyatt material and we bring it forward to you so that you can gain access to that knowledge even if you can't afford some of the outrageous prices. Workshops, obviously, every year We are in Forestville. There are workshops and classes all over the place, and you want to take advantage of those if you possibly can, because that sort of hands-on learning and also the connecting with other people, seeing them, making eye contact, feeling out who is my cohort, who are the folks in my network, that's really vital as well. And then the big deal is, I believe, getting a chance to take your class, Ms. Kat. And the correspondence course was just it blew my mind. It really, really did. It was like this little bomb going off for me. And probably part of it was just that it was like a conversation with an old friend. I knew the writing style intimately. But the depth of material, the breadth of material there, it really is enough to bring someone from the position of wanting to be a root worker to, yes, I can do this. So I think that that's hugely important. And it's much more difficult to get into the correspondence course now, but it is something that people should aspire to. And following that, the 3 apprenticeship weeks and apprenticing with any root worker is a very important step. There are some things that just need that hands-on, here I am doing it, and someone is watching me and saying, no, that's not quite right. Let's change it. Let's do it this way. And it really, it brings forth your mastery. And that's really the key, is you want to get to the position of mastery. And once you feel comfortable being that kind of person, hanging up your shingle, you also need to be willing to take your questions to your peers, to your teachers, and say, oh, I've got a client who wants this, this, and this, and it's not going so well, and I did this and the other thing. What else should I do? And just sometimes the simplest little hint of information from someone who's been doing this for a long, long time is what it takes to get you over that little hump. So a lot, there's definitely an arc to all of this, from just I'm going to do some love work because my life's a mess, into wow, I'm going to do this professionally. But it's, put one foot in front of the other, take one step every week, you can get there, without a doubt.
Well, I'm going to throw in a couple of things here, because you outlined a pretty direct course, but I'm going to tell you that when I was young and I was interested in learning this, I kind of skipped some of these steps. There were books available. The 2 books that I had available to me at the time were Folk Beliefs of the Southern Negro by Newbell Niles Puckett and Mules and Men by Zora Neale Hurston. And if you can't afford the Harry Hyatt books or cannot find copies available to you in any form, do get a copy of Mules and Men by Zora Neale Hurston. It's a grounding foundational book, and it is still in print. And so that is very important information, and it should not be overlooked or forgotten just because it's just cheap and in print. The next thing is, I went to stores where products were made. In other words, there are 2 kinds of stores, and you will figure this out if you travel the country, as I did. There are stores where there would be things would be on the shelf, and you could buy them. They could be Valmore products. They might be Sunny Boy products. They might be whatever products that were Hoodoo products that were for sale. You plunk down your money, you get the items. There were other stores at which there were those kinds of items, but candles would be dressed or herbs would be weighed out of the jar, and you could talk while they were being weighed because it was a big glass jar with the herb and not a prepackaged thing. If you find stores that have anything that is being done by hand, whether it's making a mojo, dressing a candle, whatever, and you can talk to the person, you can learn. Like just yesterday, I was down at the Lucky Mojo, and I was making pink sachet powder on a base. You know, you have an arrowroot powder base, and I was putting in the pink dye powder, and I was mixing it up in a big stainless steel bowl. And there were these two ladies who'd come to shop, and one of them was being rung up, and she only spoke Spanish, and then she had a friend who spoke English and Spanish. And they're sitting there watching me, and the one who spoke English said, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I thought you'd never ask, right? Because here I'm sitting here with a giant bread bowl, stainless steel bread bowl, with gloves on, you know, stirring this powder." And she goes, "Is that what you put in the packages?" I said, "No, this is just the base." She goes, "Well, you're going to package it now." I said, "No. No, honey, we're going to put herbs in it and roots, powders, and then we're, you know, that are biologically active, and then we're going to put in oils, and then we're going to package it." And she goes, "Oh." She goes, she didn't understand. She thought it was just, oh, you know, you just make pink powder and you put it in a thing and that's it. And I said, "Do you want to know what I'm doing?" I said, and she goes, "Well, what is pink? What is pink?" I said, "Pink, you know, is for love and romance." I said, "So here." And I began to pray out loud. You know, you turn the bowl and you scoop and turn and scoop and turn like you would if you were mixing bread dough. And I'm going, "May all those who use this powder find love and friendship, friendship and love. If they search for friendship, may they find it in abundance. If they search for love, may they find it easily. If they wish for marriage, may marriage come to them." And I just went on and on. And she's going, "You think that while you're making the powder?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah, and that's just the base. I haven't even had this yet, right?" And so now, and then she translated it all into Spanish for her friend. And I said, "I teach courses in this." And I said to them, "By the way, Margie is over there, and Margie is making some honey jars. Why don't you go ask Margie? Margie speaks some Spanish." So they began to talk. Well, I realized that this is a replay of my life, but now from the other end. See, when I was young, I'd go there and I'd ask, What you doing? "Oh, I'm just mixing up some powder." "Well, what do you do? And you have to learn how it's done by watching and listening and asking questions. Now, those ladies got, you know, the equivalent of an hour workshop that they could have paid $100 for or $25 for at some place. I mean, I gave them the whole deal, right? And they were just two random customers. So one of the things I recommend is come on into these stores. Don't just be ordering mail order or online. Come on in and talk to people. Go to where Charles Porterfield is teaching. Go to where Papa Newt works. You know, go down to Madame Pamita's down in Southern California. Anybody who is a root worker who has a storefront, if you catch them right, and remember, always what I always tell people, those older ones, they're going to have trouble lifting those heavy boxes of candles and stuff. Offer to help. Offer to help. And so just think about informal ways of studying, too. Now, I want to turn this over to Ollie. Ollie, what do you think?
I'm sitting here nodding along quite vigorously. I think everything said, I couldn't agree more with it. And I want to shout out something that was said in the chat room, actually, and tie it into this. Kelly Mojo Girl said, "I like the community-oriented characteristics of voodoo. That is missing from many witchcraft paths I've encountered. Solitary is very insane." And that's a really good point. Anyone can do hoodoo, right? You can learn a little bit. Even if you have only a modicum of talent, you can do bathing. You can do candle work. So there is something you can do. Not everyone can be a root worker. There requires a bit of aptitude. And the key about the root worker is you're not a solitary practitioner. You're not someone who's working for themselves or by themselves. You're working in a community setting. Those shops that Ms. Cat is mentioning are in communities. And they tend to be, they often act as community centers. People use that location quite frequently. It's not uncommon, for example, for barber shops and hair salons to also double up as a place where you can find products to buy and use and work. So they act as these kind of community centers, and that's important. That's a very big part of hoodoo. And one of the things that I've always been frustrated, and this comes from the fact that I'm a I'm a historian, so for me it's very important to historicize and contextualize and to keep things within their roots. I get very frustrated when people remove things out of their kind of their roots, right? So people see hoodoo as a system of magic, not as a spiritual practice that belongs to a community. And so it's important to be involved in that community. I mean, something that Kat always talks about is that how she learned is she went to stores and actually talked to people. That's community building, right? That's a very different experience than someone going, oh, you know what, I'm just going to start lighting candles. These are completely different modes of getting involved. My own involvement, I inherited my practice. So like the core of the people that I work for, even to this day, I mean, it's been decades now that I still do this. Those people have stuck with me. I inherited from my teacher. And I started, and I was adopted into a tradition that I'm not a native in. I'm not African-American. I don't know the Black experience, though I am an ancillary community, another minority community that grew alongside. In Virginia, these two communities blended a lot over food. And so I was adopted into that tradition, but the key was community for me. So you have to be involved with living people. If you're not involved in that way, you're missing something. And this is always what books are super important. Base of knowledge is super important. But if you're not going to make that connection, especially to the African-American community, you're doing something wrong. And I see this became really popular amongst these kind of pop-up root workers that showed up online everywhere that had Etsy shops and whatnot, and they weren't serving a clientele or a community. They just had a shop, and that was really bizarre to me. And so for me, I think the big thing here is you can't just dive into this without recognizing the roots of what you're getting involved in. And listen, don't talk so much. Everyone wants to be a teacher. Everyone wants to be a chef. Everyone wants to be a root worker. No one wants to be a student. Just shut your mouth and listen to your elders, because guess what? That's how you're going to learn the real stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I cannot emphasize enough that you should ask questions and listen.
Yeah.
There is a lot of material, but as I love what you said about the pop-up root workers on Etsy. There's a lot more to this than just getting a book of formulas and making some
money. Exactly.
It really is about how you approach people, how you talk to them, what you offer them in the way of strength and comfort, teaching knowledge, a way out of problems. There's more than just being a grocery store clerk when you're a root worker. You have to have an interest in social work. You have to have an interest in spirituality. And those things are as important. But we cannot give you a guide to spirituality, but we can give you a guide to reaching out to those in the community and learning from them. Also, just one thing I'd like to say is don't believe everything you read on a website. Look at a few websites. I'm not saying that, hey, I'm the only conduit that has the truth. I'm saying there are many, many places that have good, good knowledge. But do some due diligence and comparison. If one person says something that sounds way off track to you, it's probably because it's way off track.
I'll give you an example of that, too, and that what ties into this, what happens when you don't verify and you don't have a connection to the community. So I remember I was in Southern California, and it was the first time I had walked into a spiritual shop in Southern California, and it was a little a shop down in someplace in SoCal. I'll give it away. But it was in Orange County, and I walked in the shop. It was actually a Wiccan shop, and I was just looking for some candles real quick. I was on my way, and I looked over, and they had oils. And this was the first time I had saw Essence of Bendover in a Wiccan shop. I'd seen them in candle shops, I'd seen them in hoodoo shops all over the country, but the first time I'd seen it in this Wiccan shop. I was like, oh, I didn't know you guys carried this product. What do you use this for? Obviously knowing what they use it for. And the answer was like, ooh, this is for some sexy time. When you and your partner are alone,
to
get that. And I just went, oh my God, this person has no clue what Essence of Bendover is, or what the origins of Essence of Bendover is. There's a history there about making your boss bend over. Like the oldest formulas are actually floor washes. People don't always know that, right? No clue. For them, it was like an S&M type thing. And I'm like, no. You've completely missed what this is.
Wow. Well, that's the kind of stuff that just drives me crazy, and I get real crazy about it. But and again, no offense meant toward the Wiccan specifically, but the idea that they would be selling a product like Essence of Bendover and telling you that it was for sexiness, that's sad.
Right.
You know, it's sad. And I've heard similar things too. People telling me, oh, you know, you can't make this because it has that in it and that's, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, people get these crazy ideas. I remember, for instance, going to a shop in Texas and finding Hot Foot powder, and it smelled like bubble gum. Literally, it smelled like Double Bubble brand bubble gum. And I'm like, what the heck is this? And I asked the guy, what is this Hot Foot powder? He goes, well, you know, you can't really put the real stuff in it. I'm like, what's the real stuff? I mean, you know, some cayenne pepper. Whoa, you can't put cayenne pepper in. Okay, you're going to put bubblegum scent instead. So there are oddities. And that man was not a Wiccan, by the way. That man was working in hoodoo and Mexican-American tradition. So you just have to be aware of the, you know, kind of take a sounding, as Naga Shiva, my husband, would say. Take a sounding, look around at what other people sound things out with the elders of the tradition and try to find out who knows, you know, there's good people and bad people. And it's not that one person will have all the right answers. Some person might know more about one thing than another. The other thing I would, again, recommend, if you can, take hands-on workshops.
Yes.
People like Professor Porterfield, Madam Pamita, there are so many people who teach workshops. Coe Meadows has taught many workshops in Alabama, and also he's taught in other places. Folks like that are generous with their time, and when they find a real genuine student, they'll go the extra mile to teach even more than what's in the workshop. If ask good questions, you'll get really interesting answers. And also, Kali Mojo Girl just said something in the chat room, and thank you for saying that. It is so great. AIR offers spiritual coaching so people could learn hands-on. That is true, too. There are members of AIR who you can sign up with either telephone, Skype, or in-person coaching for a fee. Very good way to work also. All right. Well, there's our music. We're going to turn this over to our fabulous substitute announcer, and we're going to come back and do some readings for clients.
Stay tuned. Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, and this week's special guest, Deacon Millett, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535. 8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Troll Talhead, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to the phones and select our first client. Our first caller is Bhavana, calling from area code 808. In Hawaii. Bhavana, are you there?
Hello, I'm here. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, wonderful.
And,
you're very welcome. Thanks for calling the show. I see in your sign-up that you're a first-time caller and haven't had another reading on your situation. Is that right?
Well, actually, I called years ago, and it was in the fall of 2012. Maybe I changed my phone number since then to 808. And I just had a situation, you know, I met a man then, I called the show, and I just had this instant strong connection with, and when we touched, it was just like very connected. And then I had another man come in my life like that, and I remember this candle that I had, I got, I went through all of my things and I bought a few things from the Lucky Mojo shop when I used to live in California. But I just said my road is open.
Well,
there's that road opener candle.
Hold on just a moment.
Oh, go ahead.
I'll read
your
situation from sign up.
Okay.
You. She writes,
okay.
I had a strong connection with a new man in my life, and it's a get close, pull back, and hide hand. I wonder if things are now complete or if there is more healing to be done. Lots of clearing of the past into past lives has already occurred. Turning it over to you, Miss Kat.
Okay, so the question is, you want us to read on this man that you had this strong connection with. Is that correct?
Well, yes, but it's very similar to when I called the show in the fall of 2012. Very similar,
okay.
Kind of a strong bond.
Okay.
And then I didn't know your show. I haven't listened to it in years, but I opened up Blog Talk and I said, who's on today? And 15 minutes before your show.
How funny. How very
wow.
Interesting. All right,
yeah.
Well, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions before I read for you. Question number one, what sign of the zodiac are you?
I'm a Sagittarius.
Sagittarius, okay. And this person that you're asking about is what sign?
Virgo.
Okay. Well, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. And now, how long have you been seeing each other, or how long have you been knowing each other?
About 3 weeks, maybe a month.
3 weeks.
A month.
Okay, 3 weeks to a month. All right.
It's actually almost exactly
a
month.
Okay, great. All right. So now I'm going to read three cards for you. And the first card I got is, it's very funny to me because of what you said in your note. You said, it's a get close, pull back, and hide dance. And I got the Hermit. And the Hermit is a... isn't that funny? That's my card number one. The Hermit is a man who hides, literally. He hides away from other people. He withdraws to an icy mountain where he's all by himself, alone. He holds a lantern, and in the lantern there's a little star, like a Star of David, shining. But he's not going out to meet. He's saying, here's my light, you can come find me. So he is... and exactly as you described, involved in a hide-and-seek game with you. And the second card is a card called the Two of Pentacles. And this card is a more disturbing card. It's a card that shows a man balancing two coins. He's down by the water, by the ocean, and the water is going up and down and up and down, almost seasickly. There are two ships on the waves, and he's holding these two coins, and he's trying to dance on his two legs, but he's kind of falling over, falling in one direction with his feet and with his head leaning in the other direction. And we call this a man who can't make up his mind, a man who has two minds. He could have another lover. He also could have an emotional issue that is causing a mental problem for him. This card can indicate anything from periods of depression and confidence alternating to actually being bipolar. It can also mean a person who is juggling two relationships. But this is not a good card because the push and pull is maybe interior to him. In other words, this man may have problems based on his previous life, and those problems may be showing up in the way he treats you. Okay? Card number three is called Temperance, and it shows an angel. And this angel is holding two cups. And just as the man was trying to balance the two coins and was unable to do so because it's all kind of coming apart in his hands, the angel is very calm and confident and pours water from one cup to the other. So the restoration of balance is possible, but only with a great deal of calmness and maybe a call of prayer or a call to angelic help, because the mundane things aren't going to work here. The card is sometimes called the interrupted journey because it shows a path that leads to of mountains and a crown of glory in the distance. But in order to get there, you must cross over a stream of water. The path is washed away, and it has to be retaken. If you believe in past lives, which some people do, it usually indicates a past life connection that is going to be resumed and that may be broken again in this life and will be resumed in a future life. If you do not believe in past lives, and I personally do not, it still is called the interrupted journey, and it still means whatever happens here, if it's interrupted, it will not be the final interruption. It doesn't necessarily mean that you will travel on together in love, but there will be some connection between you that is so spiritually true, like the water pouring from one cup to another by the angel's hand, that you two are almost sent to heal one another, because the name of this angel is Raphael, and Raphael is known as God's healing angel. So there's a lot going on here, but I don't know that this is going to be a very easy relationship, because this person has some issues, and those issues that need to be worked on may be beyond your working, and you should, in fact, ask the angel Raphael for help. That's what I see. Okay? All right, let's see what Deacon Millett has to say.
Wow, quite an amazing reading. So I'm going to pull three cards from my deck as well. I'm using the Tantric Dakini Oracle deck. And the first card here is Recall Memory. And this card shows an abundance of seashells, and from them we can hear the sound of waves, the echoes of the past. So there's definitely a situation where this card, when this card comes up, that is something connected to his past or your past, or both of you are reliving old patterns. There is something here that reminds you of someone you've known already. And these patterns can be very difficult to break. If it's a negative pattern, it could have him going, you know, oh my gosh, she reminds me of this person who broke my heart and I've got to run away, but I loved her so much, so I've got to come forward, back and forth, back and forth. So a definite difficult situation when you're not fully present for each other. The second card here is Fire of Sacrifice. And this card shows a volcano with flames coming out of it, and it is ready for a virgin to be thrown in and sacrificed. This is not a very positive thing. Either you're going to be sacrificed to appease his old patterns, or you're going to be asked to make some kind of very deep sacrifice yourself. Like, I really want someone who's there for me all the time. He seems to only be there for me half the time. And am I willing to put up with that? If he has another person that he's involved with, am I willing to put up with that? How many sacrifices am I willing to make here? So not a great situation with this card at all. The third card, however, and I can't believe that I pulled this, the third card is Eternal Life. And this card shows a Sphinx and a goddess holding an Ankh. And this card often represents marriage in my reading, but it definitely represents reincarnation. So very strange that there's another kind of sense of even the possible past life connection here. The problem with these kinds of connections is that they hold almost a primal pull over us, whether you call them twin flames or star-crossed lovers. or even soulmates, which sounds awfully nice, but boy, getting to a place where you can be at peace with the other person can be very, very difficult. So while there does seem to be a connection worth looking at here, there are some real downsides that may make you think twice. It may be one of those situations where you just go, you know what, maybe, you know, if it was good in a past life, maybe it'll be good in a future life, but not so. Tread with care and try to get as much information about him as you can to understand what is making him come and go this way.
All right. Wow. Okay, so we're going to turn this over to Countryman Ali for some root work advice, something you can do to change this, and if possible, and try to pull this into more into conformity with your desires.
Yeah, I think you've gotten some fantastic readings here. I'm just going to say a couple of things before I dive into the root work itself. This is not uncommon with Virgos. First of all, a Sag and a Virgo connection is actually a good one. It's not a bad connection. They both they can entertain one another. There's enough there to build a pretty solid relationship. But in regards to Virgos, there's a reason they're known as the Virgin. And it's not that they're virginal and that they don't want to have sex or whatnot. It's that they can be a little bit difficult to open up. And so they have to trust someone. In order for them to really love and commit to a relationship, they have to first be able to put down or bring down their barriers. And you getting this person to bring down their barriers can be tricky. A kind of, hide and seek, as you mentioned, is not uncommon in this type of situation. So we need to address that. How do we remove the kind of hesitation, the resistance, and open things up, get them to really trust? So what I want you to do is I want you to get a nice big bowl, a heat-proof bowl if you can get it. If you don't have it, you can get a cauldron or something. But a heat-proof is ideal. And gather some dirt from your local area. This could be dirt around your house, whatever, just get some dirt. You're then going to take some come-to-me powder, and you're going to mix it with that dirt. You're going to mix it as you pray, as you focus, as you call out to your higher spirit, to God, to the Lord, or to the Archangel Raphael, as Ms. Kat mentioned. And you're going to pray that whoever, that this person, as they walk through this dirt and dust, they will feel opening, they will feel love for you, they will feel passion for you, they will feel compelled to come to you, and that they will come to you from wherever they are. You're going to place that bowl on a surface that you can work. You are then going to take a red candle. This should be a nice big red candle. You can't do this with a 4-inch candle. You need to get yourself something like a jumbo red candle, or at least a 6-inch, something that you can actually work with, hold. It's got some girth to it, if you will. You are going to inscribe your name and his name on this. You're going to oil it with come to me oil. Then you're going to take some cubeb berries. I've given out this spell on the Lucky Mojo Forum. It's a very popular spell there. It's about removing resistance. I think it also even made it into one of the books. So this works. It's a good one. You take the cubeb berries and you stud the candle. And you do it in a spiral fashion from wick to base. What do I mean by stud? You are going to press the cubeb berries into the candle. You can soften the candle's wax if you want. Be careful. You don't want to melt it. You don't want to burn it. But you should be able to. Most candles are pretty easy with the cubeb berries. You push the cubeb berries into the candle. Careful without breaking it. And this is why you need one of those jumbo candles. And you're going to do it in a spiral fashion from wick to base. Then you're going to get yourself some dill, and you're going to dust it with dill. What you can do is you can place the dill on a small spoon, and you're going to blow on it so that it coats the candle. The oil of the candle will help it stick. This is called dressing a candle. If you don't want to do it that way, you can also lay it out on a sheet of wax paper, and then roll the candle there. The only problem with that is it can sometimes knock off the cuba berries, which is why I prefer to blow the dill onto the candle. You don't need to coat the entire thing, just a little bit of dill on there. You are then going to place the candle into the dirt bowl that you made. You're going to pray over it, light the candle. Take three new pins, heat them up into the flame. As you stick the pin into the flame, call out his name. Then you are going to prick the top of the candle, calling out his name. Then you take the second one, put it into the flame, calling out his name. Press it into the middle of the candle while you call out his name. Take the third pin, press it into the flame while you call out his name, and then to the bottom of the candle. You pray over this entire thing and let it burn all the way down. Once it's melted all the way down, you mix everything together with that dirt, that bowl mixture, except for the pins. Set the pins aside separately. Take the dirt where he is going to be, where he will walk through it, and lay it out, whether it's in front of his house, by his car, wherever you know that he will walk through and over and onto that dirt. You will sprinkle that mixture there as you pray. Come back home, take a printout, you can print this out or get a tarot card, whichever you prefer, of the lover's card. You are going to print it out or use the tarot card if you want to ruin a deck, whatever, entirely up to you. Take the one pin, stick it into the figure of Adam, take the other pin, stick it into the figure of Eve, the final pin, stick it into the archangel. In some traditions, that is the archangel Uriel. In other traditions, that is the archangel Raphael. This is to join the two of you together. Then print out a photo of yourself and him. You can use Photoshop, you can tape, whatever, to make that photo. Place the tarot card into that photo, fold it up, and place it underneath your mattress, between the mattress and the box spring. This is to help him overcome the resistance and the delays and the hide and seek, and to draw him right into your bed and join you together. The pin acts as a sort of bonding spell or a binding spell that brings you two together. That's my recommendation. It's good, solid work. If you do this, I think you'll have a good chance of turning things around.
Wow. That's a tremendous spell you got there. And it's a lot of fabulous stuff to do. Deacon Millett, can you think of anything to add on to that?
Well, I can. It's not to add on to the spell, because the spell is just so damn perfect. But the thing to keep in mind when you're doing this work is you're doing it instead of trying to open him up. This is the work that will let him open and on his own and share things with you. Yes, keep in touch. Yes, invite him to do things, but don't try to make him tell you his deepest, darkest heart. Just
yes.
Let him be, because he needs to come to you in trust when he feels ready, and this spell will help him feel ready faster. But if you at the same time are saying, why don't you ever talk to me, why don't you ever open up, you're undoing all the work and pushing him away. So that's my only add-on to this incredible spell, is don't mess it up.
I really like that, Deacon Millett. And Deacon Millett, by the way, is a love specialist, and people go to him all the time for love work. He knows his business.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're going to turn this over to our announcer.
Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and talk to our next client.
Our next client is Laura, calling from Sacramento at area code 916. Laura, are you there?
I am. Hi.
Wonderful. Thank you for calling back. I understand that you're a return caller. And,
I am, yes.
You find a better forum. And that you haven't had any other readers or root workers read on this particular situation. Is that correct?
I have not, no.
Great. Laura writes, I am a young single mother, and I feel that my love life is crossed. I'd like to know about a young man I've been seeing the past 4 months. Lately, he's been sending mixed signals. He let me know a week ago that we should stop seeing each other, and then we ended up meeting to talk, and we slept together 3 days later. I'm very much in love with him. I want guidance on whether he reciprocates these feelings and what his intentions really are. Should I put all my effort into him and fight for a serious relationship? Back to you, Ms. Kat.
Wow. You know, I'm sure that I'm going to get a yes from Conjurman Ali and from Deacon Millett. You know how it is when we get these days where the calls are similar.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Here we are with two women. And lest those who are new to this show think, oh, yeah, they probably all just get these crazy women and blah, blah. Uh-uh. No, we'll have two of them in which people are asking about their money, or two of them in which people are asking
mm-hmm.
about their health. And this time we got two about the reluctant man.
It's
all right. Well,
I called two.
Yeah. Well, it just happens that way. You know, it's in the stars. It's in the air. It's in the water. We don't know.
Right.
I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and I'm going to turn this over to Ali for your first reading. So, Laura, what is your sign of the zodiac?
I'm a Leo with a Leo rising and a Scorpio moon. And he is a Cancer with a Leo rising and a Pisces moon.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm going to write that down. You are Leo, Leo, Scorpio. And this person is?
Cancer and then Leo rising and then a Pisces moon.
Okay, Cancer, Leo, Pisces. All right. So now I'm going to turn this over to Conjurman Ali to go ahead and do your reading.
Thanks, Kat. And thank you for asking the signs. I think you clearly know, what you're talking about. When you're starting to mention rising and moon, you generally know, what you're talking about. there is, just based off of what you have told me so far, there can be a connection there. And Leos, you are wonderfully magnetic individuals, people who people are drawn to. There's a reason why you all are, you're ruled by the sun. The one thing you need to be very careful of, and the one thing you should be very cautious of, is that in this type of connection, communication can be an issue. Leos in particular have a way of hurting people who are Cancer. Cancer is quite sensitive, and so you have to be very careful about that. Avoiding arguments, avoiding fights, these are things that are going to be really important for any type of long-term relationship. I have pulled three cards here, so I do want to go over them. And there is chance, there is a hope here. But it's gonna be, you're gonna have to ask yourself this: do you really want to go after this person, and do you really want to make an effort? I can't answer whether you should or you shouldn't. I can only tell you what the potentials are. So that's gonna be up to you. You're gonna have to ask that question yourself. So here's what I've got here. The very first card is the Five of Pentacles, and the Five of Pentacles in this particular situation talks about the kind of connections. It's an environmental one. It says timing is off. It shows two individuals, a woman and a man, walking there, indigent there, in rags. One of them is injured, and they're out in the dark, cold, unable to see the warmth of the cathedral that is white behind them. So it means that you and him may not be at the right time. And this is why, you really care for him. You said you love him, or you've fallen for him.
I do.
And he says, we need to take a break, and then 3 days later you guys aren't back together, right? So there's a timing issue here, and the Five of Pentacles speaks to that. It means that you're going to have to deal with this kind of you and him being in kind of the wrong time for a while. That it may be in a particular time in his life where he's just not ready to see what you can offer him. Because clearly you can offer him a great deal. You can offer him happiness. You can offer him comfort. The next card that I get is the Four of Pentacles. And this comes down to him. So it's telling me the main issue here is him. The Four of Pentacles is the miser king, the little king. This is a person who is clutching a coin. They have another one on their crown and two more under their feet, and they're outside of a town or a city. This is a person who's holding on to what they have, and as a result are unable to see what news can come their way. They have a lot on their mind, so I don't know what's going on in his life right now that's mm-hmm. got him preoccupied or
he's a professional athlete, so maybe...
That'll do it. So the Four of Pentacles means that his mind is elsewhere. He's got that on his mind, dealing with whether it's financial issues or what his future is. He's focused on that, and so he's holding so tightly onto that, onto his situation, that he's unable to let new things come into his life. This is an issue. When people are in this type of state, they're afraid of rocking the boat, of changing things too much, because they go, I have what I have in front of me. And anything else that can come can rock this. I'm afraid of losing. I'm afraid of suddenly things being imbalanced. So this can be an issue. This, whenever this comes up for a Cancer in particular, I go, oh, they've retreated into their shell of comfort, right? They don't want to do what makes them uncomfortable. And so that's going to be on you. You're going to have to open him up. You're going to have to help bring him forward. The final card that I have is the Nine of Wands. The Nine of Wands is a card of victory, but victory that comes as a bit of a price. It's a person who you have to struggle a bit, and then eventually you're able to kind of break through a wall. So yeah, you can have a relationship with this man. There's going to be a lot of competition between what's going on in his mind, between what's going on in his life, where he is timing-wise, and where you are timing-wise, what you want versus what he wants. Whether or not it's worth it and you want to invest that much energy, that's up to you. You can have a relationship, but you're going to be the one making all the moves, doing all the work in order to get him to open up. And open up is the key word here. So that's what I have. I'm going to turn this over to Deacon Miller, who's going to do your next reading, and then Miss Kat is going to give you some group work recommendations.
Thank you so much. So let's see. I'm going to grab three cards as well. The first one here is Cosmic Carrot. And this card is a carrot floating in the sky with the chakras on it. And this card is, I associate it with the carrot and the stick. You know, we're pulled along or we're beaten to get us to move. Mm-hmm. But it's also associated with buyer's remorse. So it's one of the cards I really don't like to see in a relationship reading because it says to me, okay, you go out with him, you start to fall for him, and he goes, maybe not, and pushes you away. It also means that you may reach a place fairly soon where you go, oh, wait a minute, I don't care how much I love him. There's no way I'm going to put up with this. So it's a rough, rough card. It's also a very phallic card. There is a definite sexual vibe going on here. And that makes it even harder to figure out because our hearts and our loins are definitely connected and we have a hard time sometimes sorting which is saying what, you know. The second card here is Maya, How She Spins. And this card shows a crone at her spinning wheel, and she's spinning out the illusion of our lives. And this card is associated with illusions. It's associated with disillusionment. It basically says what you're seeing may not be real at all. Let go of a lot of your preconceptions and just kind of try to have fun and feel around the boundaries of this and see what may come of it. But, right now this is not looking great. It's looking more dreamy than real. The third card
here is wish-fulfilling gem. And the wish-fulfilling gem is the brain. Basically, the brain is like a little computer. It's going to find the answers to the questions it's given. So if you say, so what's wonderful about him? The brain is going to answer, here you go, here are all the things that are wonderful. And if you ask, what's wrong with this relationship? What's wrong with us? It's going to answer, here are all the things that are wrong with us. So try to stay as positive as you can when this card shows up. You will have a tendency to need to focus your thoughts as much as possible on things other than the relationship and just see what happens when you're not looking. If you're paying too much attention, asking too many questions, you're trying a little bit too hard, and I'm afraid that things are not going to work out very well.
Okay. All right. Well, I just got a, you know, I'm going to be doing the root work, but I got a little note here. Kanjabanali posted, just did a geomantic reading. There's an injury illness in his near future that's going to be the real testing ground whether they can survive. I presume he means as a couple. And I was seeing that too. Ali is a very, very good card reader, but like many gentlemen, when reading for a woman about her love life, he tends to be a little more gentle than I would be.
Yeah.
And the first cards he got, he was saying, you know, the Knight of Wands, a bit of a struggle. And I'm going, hey, paranoid schizophrenia? Hey, paranoid guy? You know, fearful mental issues? You know, I read these cards much rougher than he does. Much rougher. And
I like
and,
that.
the Four of Pentacles, you know, he would, the Miser King. And I'm going, the little king who lost everything.
Yeah.
Not so good, you see. So I'm seeing these cards as a bit, but, you know, and the Five of Pentacles, he said, oh, the timing is off. And I'm going, no. That was the first card with a bandage on a man's head. Okay?
Oh, my God.
You see what I'm saying? Now
it ends with
you got a geometric.
Ends, literally ends with a man with a bandage on his head. So it starts it off that way and it ends that way. Nine of Wands
right
on the last
the
card.
And in the middle, we have a little king with a coin on his head. Right. We got head issues with this dude. We got head issues. Let's just face it, man.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got head issues. So I'm just saying. Now, and of course, Deacon Millett, it is a little bit phallic with that carrot. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I want you to be aware that when you love a man, there is more than, you know, immediate gratification. And I think that Ali is right. There is some kind of injury. You mentioned him being a professional athlete. God forbid he should be injured playing.
Yeah, he's a Tour de France bike rider.
Okay, all right.
So, it can be dangerous if it crashes.
Yeah, there is something odd here. There is something. Mm-hmm. These cards are not like, you know, lovey-dovey, like, oh, this will all work out. They are quite different than our first client had. These show more trouble than hers did. Hers was sort of like, this might be not the right time, but you have some sort of weird cosmic connection, and it's you know, you're there for each other's healing. This one is a little bit more shaky. Now, I'm going to give you some root work advice, and you're not going to like it, but, you know, it's what you got. I think that that because of these issues and because of the pull that this man exerts on you by his grace, beauty, and possibly sexuality, and because the wish-fulfilling gem is the brain, which is where, again, we're going to get with this head thing, I would like you to use a skull candle. And, you can get any kind of you can buy them online. You can buy them, you know, locally where you are. You want to, and now Halloween's coming up. You can go to a Halloween shop and buy a skull candle.
Love it.
Okay. And I want you to get that skull candle, and I want you to name it for him. In other words, say you are so and so. I want you to get some good kind of oil, but not a love coercing oil. I don't want one of these, you know, come to me or, you know, follow me, boy. Nothing like that. I want clarity oil, or just if you have no other oil, just pray.
That's like
Psalms.
The one I don't have.
Okay,
I have every Lucky Mojo oil.
Well, pray Psalms 45. hear what I'm saying. Pray Psalms number 45 over a small little dish of olive oil. Psalms 45. Okay, that's all you need. You just and then rub that. And this is and it says my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Speak your mind, read that psalm, and then pray for clarity. Okay. Lovingly anoint that candle. If you have anything of his that you can load it with, you know, dig a little divot underneath, put his hair, if you have any of his bodily fluids,
yeah,
whatever, put that in there. And then you're going to work with that candle for a while. We're not going to be sticking pins in that candle. We're not going to be doing anything but holding that candle and saying, speak your honest mind. You put then some clarity oil on the mouth, if you want. And after you've worked with that candle for at least 7 days, okay, at least 7 days, every night, hold it, pray over it, talk to it, you will reveal yourself to me. Put the candle, and, you know, you can, of course, you could try to influence it by putting all kinds of love herbs all over it and love oils all over it, but I'm not asking for that. I'm asking for this to be, if possible, a white skull candle, and if possible, you're only looking for the answer, okay? So use a large dish like a pizza pie plate or something that's metal that will not hold and confine the wax. You want the wax to run freely, a cookie sheet. Light the candle, let it burn, and then I want you to read that wax. If you can't read it, take a photo of it and hire a root worker to read, just read the pattern in the wax. There are many people at AIR who will be able to do that for a small amount of money if you send them the photo. And but I think you'll be able to read the wax. I think you have some knowledge of this material. What you're going to be looking for are their hearts. Are there phalluses? Mm-hmm. Is there a devil? Are there pitchforks? You're looking for some sign in that wax, and that sign is the answer, what his intentions really are. That's what you want to see. But my feeling, unfortunately, is that his intentions are not so much the problem as his mental state is the problem, and there is a fate about to come onto him that might not be a good fate.
Yeah.
That it's that there's something clouding his life, and it's it may be a difficulty. Okay. So can you think of anything else? I mean, I know I have been. This is a very bare bones. This is simply a clarity spell. It's not a spell to influence him. I would not influence him at this point. You can also do one other thing. And this is an old trick taught to me by a wonderful friend of mine named Theodora. And she says you draw a tic-tac-toe square, you know, nine, you know, 2x2, and you got 9 little squares. And in those squares, you write down the 9 things you want most in a relationship. Just write them down off the top of your head. I want sex. I want love. I want monetary equality. I want children. I want, you know, blah, blah, blah. You want 9 things. Just write them down. Then... write down which ones that person gives you. Make a check mark if he has them. And if he doesn't have 5 out of the 9, just give up. He's got to have more than half, right?
Yeah.
And then look at what's left over and how possible are those other of achievement. Because until you have the whole squares filled in, it's like a bingo card. You don't have bingo. And so you want to get all 9. And everybody's 9 will differ. Just write them down in the squares as the just in the moment. Try not to think of him, just in the moment, and then, you know, put a little heart if he has them and a little X if he doesn't have them and if you think he might have them. And that will also help you decide. Okay, anything else anybody else has to add? Our bumper music is on, so you get 30 seconds, Deacon Millett.
There's nothing to add there. It is beautiful.
Okay, well, thank you. All right. Well, we're going to have our technical team bring us our fabulous recorded announcement, and then we're going to have a free spell from Deacon Millett.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hooter Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Contraman Ollie, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Candela's Corner with Candela Cavisa, Michael Carell, and Lady A, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays 6 to 7. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All times Pacific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
And now, having completed the LMC Radio Network announcement, accompanied by the fabulous Genie music, next, we're going to Deacon Millett of FourAltars.com in Joshua Tree, California, who will bring us our free spell. Take it away, Deacon.
Thank you, Troll Towelhead. So I wanted to do a little spell here at the end of the show that would reinforce the ideas at the beginning of how do I become a root worker. But this one is going to be, rather than practical advice, this is spiritual. So I'm going to teach you a little 7-day ritual of mastery, and it's a master key ritual. So you will do this in front of a whole master root that is on top of books of your choice that are symbolic of what you wish to master. And here, it's root work. We're going to draw crossroads in front of your master root and books with either black salt or an herb blend of your choice. Now, this is a place where you get to decide, do I want to specialize in something? And I strongly recommend that you do that. Lucky Mojo has great herb blends for peace, love, money, protection, blessing, blockbuster. Draw your symbolic crossroads with one of those blends if you want to specialize in a particular field or condition in root work. Then you'll use a 7-knob candle of a color that matches. And you're going to anoint that with Master Key oil. And I want you to burn Master Key incense during this ritual, which you'll do every night. Then take a key. You can use a skeleton key or another key that matters to you, a key from a relative's home who had a deep mastery of something would be a very good choice. Place that key in the dead center of your crossroads and pick up your master root, and I want you to gently waft the master key incense over the crossroads in the key while you recite Psalm 112. Now, if that feels like too much for you to do at the same time, reciting and wafting, you can do them independently, or you can print the psalm out huge so that it's easier for you to read as you do this. And I also want you, as part of mastery, don't panic if tiny bits of your master root fall off. You can use them in spell work later. And do this over the course of a week, and then take that key and carry it with you always. You keep your master root on your altar, and you can dispose of the remains at a real crossroads when you're done.
Wow. So you're going to burn 1 knob of the candle every night. And,
exactly.
And then you're going to keep that key. That is wonderful. And the idea is to get the mastery of those books, essentially, of the knowledge that is in those books. Wow. That's a very nice spell. And it's the kind of thing, too, people ask, well, what do I do? How do I carry that key? Where do I put that key? I have prepared several such keys in my life. I had one for a long time. It was just on the – I had a purse that had a zipper, and the zipper had a, you know, a little zipper pull. And I put a key on the zipper pull. And so that key was with me always. Then I had another one that I had on a key ring. So this was a ring of keys, just regular old, you know,
house keys, things like that. But I put the skeleton key, the one I had prepared, that key was on the key ring as an amulet. And everyone thought, oh, she's got that one old-fashioned key on her key ring. So there are many ways you can carry and work with such a key. Also, you can put them in your wallet, just, you know, in one of the little pocketlets of your wallet. And some people, especially women, will make the key into a necklace. And you can wear it as a you know, piece of jewelry when you feel like it. So those are some of the ideas. Wow. That's fantastic.
I love the idea of working with a key. I also love the idea of burning a knob a night of the a knob of candle a night. I think that's, I love that way of working. It's like it builds power night after night after night, and then culminates in this beautiful kind of talisman that you carry. I'm also struck by the fact that you create this powerful talisman, and what a great tool of divination it'll also make, right?
Oh, like my gosh, yes.
As a pendulum.
Yes, that is another thing, that I have a key as a pendulum, and that's another way to use it. Just put it on a little bit of necklace chain or a little bit of string or thread, and a key that you have anointed and dressed can become a pendulum to help you divine. I like to use mine over photos, and I also use it over tarot cards. And again, these are all fantastic ways to work with the master key formula. Now, the master key formula of oil, I just want to add, goes back a long way. The first person that we know who made it was a man named L.W. DeLawrence. And he was not the first person to publish a book called The Master Key, but he was one of several who did. But he created master key oil, and I still use that same old recipe.
And this
it's also one of the best smelling oils, period.
Oh, yes, it smells so
know,
good.
It's just, the perfume is just beautiful, too. So that also helps.
Yeah, it sure does. Everyone loves the smell of Master Key. And I cannot take credit for having invented it. That was L.W. DeLawrence. And it's
a
beautiful, beautiful fragrance.
It's a really great fragrance. And this also goes to what we were talking about kind of earlier on, right? When we said in the beginning of the show that in order to be a successful root worker, you have to have interest, but you also have to have aptitude. Well, Master Key is one of those products that helps to enhance any natural aptitude you may have. So if you have a modest ability, Master Key can help open it up, can really help take things to another level. I have clients that work with it, and really things they're able to really open up their abilities.
Yeah. Well, just before we go, I just want to add that Reverend Dr. Sweets, who is familiar, obviously, with L.W. DeLawrence, says, can you buy a master key with all of the jewels? Not anymore, baby. L.W. DeLawrence has joined his ancestors wherever the good mystics go. But, yes, he did used to sell that talisman. And, oh, yes, with the lion on it and everything. But all gone now. You might, you know, search eBay for crazy key talismans and find one. I never have. Someone should be making them. All right. Well, and really that brings us full circle to the idea of studying hoodoo from the root workers of the past. DeLawrence was an occultist who introduced a lot of occultism into hoodoo, and you can find out more about that by reading Harry Hyatt's interviews with 1,605 African-American practitioners, a number of whom mentioned that they bought their supplies from L.W. DeLawrence, which sometimes Hyatt transcribed as L.W. DeLong or Dr. DeLong of Chicago. Every time you see Dr. DeLong, he's talking about Dr. DeLawrence. It's just a question of not quite understanding what someone was saying. All right. Well, that brought that full circle. So let us thank Deacon Millett for being our guest. We're going to have a little bit of final bye-byes, and let's take it away and have our little bit of announcement closing.
Thank you, Ms. Kat and Constance Ali. And thank you, Deacon Millett of fouraltars.com in Joshua Tree, California, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join in next week when our special guest in the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Angela Marie Horner of angelamariehorner.com in Santa Rosa, California, who will bring us the topic of spirit, good, and evil. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjure Manali at theconjurement.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Troll Towelhead, joining you from satanservice.org. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available and archived via luckymojo.com, radioshow.html. For all of us here at luckymojo.com, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you can will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.